Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to So You Want to Be in Ministry. I'm Tim, and we are all about educating you if you're thinking about jumping into ministry, equipping you if you're already in, encouraging you if you're in a rough season and thinking about jumping out of ministry. And we want to empower you to follow godly leaders well if you're not in ministry, but you just want to know more about it and how to support your church staff or supporting staff within your church. Thank you so much for being here today. We have our first guest that is not in ministry. So I wanted to have Rochelle Lengerman on because she oversaw our entire project that our church just went through. Their company was absolutely phenomenal. They did an amazing job. Any building project is stressful, right? If you want it to look good, and I'm guessing that if you're a pastor out there or maybe even a nonprofit or organization leader that is building a building, and I mean, you want it to look good, right? And so there's some stress with just walking through, making sure that any money people are giving to that gets to a product that is really, really nice as you can make it. We're all financially limited, most likely in the church world. And so you want to make it as nice as you possibly can. And a Plocker Construction Company did an amazing job for us. Rochelle oversaw the whole thing, did an amazing job pointing us in the right direction, keeping us focused on what would maximize our dollars. And I wanted to have her on so that she could teach more pastors and ministry staff and nonprofit people how to do this, because we don't get taught this most often. Like, most likely you were not taught this in Bible college. You were not taught this in seminary. If you've learned anything about this, it's usually from personal experience, or maybe you were a construction worker while you were getting your degrees or something like that. But you probably did not have classes on how to navigate this type of process, because most of the time they're thinking you're going to go into a building. Like, you're not going to have to build it. You're going to go into a building. You're never going to need a building because you're just always going to be mobile or something. So we walked through, as our church, we walked through 17 years of mobility, and then we got our building finally. Plocker did an amazing job. Here's Rochelle, because she did a fantastic job leading us through the whole thing. So let's check out this interview. Well, hey, Rochelle, so glad to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Yeah, so you are my first guest that is not actually directly involved with ministry, but I think your role is so critical to benefit so many pastors and ministry personnel out there. So thank you for being here to share your knowledge with us.
Happy to.
All right, so you are a contractor. You were our contractor for our building. I think I've said this to you multiple times, but it was about as stress-free as I think anyone doing a project could hope for. So there were stressful moments, but nothing was overarching rough or difficult. You kept it pretty smooth, and it only got to me if it absolutely had to get to me. So that was really cool. I appreciate that so much. But I wanted to use you as an opportunity to teach other pastors, other maybe nonprofits that are thinking about building projects. What do we need to look for in a contractor? So tell us like two or three priorities that anybody should have when they are looking for a contractor to build their building.
I'll start off by saying to folks who don't know, but your project was a design build project. We use a design build method. That's where the contractor designs and builds the structure. Mm-hmm. Another traditional method is design bid build. That's where the church hires an architect to create a set of plans and specs, and then you get pricing from multiple contractors based on those full design plans and specs. Both methods work, but we've found over the years that the design build method creates a much better end product, which improves the schedules, the quality, the budgets, just everything all together. And so just wanted to start off by saying that that's how this one was done. And maybe that's why, in your opinion, it ran so smoothly, too, is because we were responsible for everything. And, you know, there's no finger pointing or having to get you in the middle of anything. So just wanted to note that here real quick.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So listen to that from the beginning. If you find a good contractor that can do all of that, absolutely. What are a couple other qualities that people should be looking for?
Yeah, so typically churches don't have an unlimited budget.
That's true.
So, looking for a contractor, I would recommend find somebody that's no fluff, because overhead does cost you, no matter what the contractor is saying. If they are a big company and they have a whole marketing team showing you things, and they talk a lot about all the awards and everything that they've done, that's great. And there's some great companies that do have all that. But again, the overhead costs the end user because all those resources have to be paid for somehow. So I would recommend finding a company that is, like I said, no fluff, that's simple. I've once had a client say that they never work with any companies that are larger than they are.
That would be hard for a church.
That would be hard for a church, but yeah, if there's any other companies listening, I always keep that in my mind. And then the big one is experience, because you can have some companies that are no fluff companies but have done a lot of work. They just don't put effort into the whole marketing aspect of it. Or having a huge team of people working on the project, like with yours, I mean, you basically talked to maybe three people the entire time. It was either me, the site superintendent, or the architect. And it's because we don't have a whole team of folks working on one project. We all at our company, we wear many hats and just make sure that everybody that we hire can do multiple tasks, so you aren't having to talk to different people or going through many layers.
You know,
But
I haven't thought of that as a benefit, but in a church, we do wear a lot of hats. And so having people on the other side that understand, like, today I might be in charge of things, and tomorrow I might have to follow this other thing, and the next day I may have to get my hands dirty. Like, that actually I think is super beneficial. I can see that now, but I didn't think of it until now.
And so it's hard to tell if you're interviewing contractors or talking to contractors for the first time if they have a company culture like that. So I would say just the big thing is experience and just have they done churches before? Because churches are very specialized and they have specific needs. You don't want a bridge builder to take a stab at a building project. I'm sure they could figure it out, but if they've done some before, I think that's key. And even a better tip is if they've attended your church before or something similar. Up until 5 years ago, I've only been to Catholic masses.
Okay.
So I was unaware of different practices and traditions that other churches have until I had attended one and saw how different they could be and the different parts and pieces that go into a church like yours versus a Catholic church like mine. And so I think having that experience was very beneficial as well.
Yeah, it definitely is different. So I appreciate it. You've attended, I mean, you attended at least once, because I saw you on opening day. So, but I'm sure you've been in and out because you've done several projects for our church. So, okay. What would be some things that would be helpful for a pastor that would make your job easier? So, like, how do we set the contractor up for success?
This probably sounds like a no-brainer, but just know what you want or what's most important to you.
Okay.
You don't need to know all the details from the very beginning. The details will get established as you work through the design. And most of the time, you don't know what you don't know. But as long as you have the overall vision that can be communicated to the architect and the design team and the contractor, that's really all you need to get started is just the overall vision and the basics.
What with that then? So as they're thinking through priorities, for a church, financial is probably going to be number one. So, what would be some of the most expensive things that they need to think through on a design level, like structural and stuff like that?
Yours that you most recently built was, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's very simple and it turned out beautifully.
It did.
But keeping things simple is huge for budget. It is, you don't have very many corners in your building. I'm not saying it's a big box. We did some stuff to the exterior to make it attractive, but overall it was a pretty simple building, and you guys added flair at the end. Yep. with the furnishings that you contributed, and also some stuff that was built in, but there's little things that you can do that make a big impact, but keeping the overall design simple is very much key.
Yeah, I we did do that. So Seth, this is maybe something that we'll talk on here, but Seth always said he wanted something modern, industrial, and timeless. And I think that timeless thing was like, we don't care if it's just gray everywhere. Like we can paint gray. We can figure stuff out for gray, but we wanted the upkeep to be minimal. So even afterwards, we were trying to save money just on low upkeep, low maintenance, all that stuff. So yeah, very true. So the simplicity, we were trying to do that. So it's good to hear that we accomplished that.
And it turned out beautifully.
It did. I did. I mean, there were times my people have heard me say this so many times, but there were times where Seth and I would look at it and we were like, man, I don't remember choosing it to look this good, but it looks so good. So, like, yeah, we had that conversation so many times. What are some aspects of the overall architectural drawings that church leadership should think through to navigate the decision process more quickly and easily?
Well, so like I mentioned, the vision is okay. Huge. And communicating that properly. So whether that be verbally in meetings or through photographs, you see something that you like, passing that on. It's hard to read people's minds, but if you can communicate, again, the basics, what you really need, what you really want, communicating that to the design team. Like you guys knew what you wanted. You wanted a big children's area, but the details of that didn't get worked out the first stab. But nope. As long as we knew the basics and that you wanted a children's space, all that can be massaged as the plan gets developed and making sure that everything fits and flows properly with how many rooms are in the children's space, the check-in desk, all those things get worked out. But I'd say starting off, the architectural drawings, the basics, and then again, you got a good architect that knows how to get it all in and flow properly. And then the communication between, hey, here's our first stab at it. What do you guys think? And being blunt and honest that I don't really love this, let's try something new, or I really like this, let's keep this as it is. The communication is probably key with figuring out the architectural design.
I agree with that. It because we went through several, and then it was simple questions like, hey, I see that you did this here. Can we just flip this and put on the other side so we can do this? And it's like, oh yeah, that. I mean, sometimes it's like that's easy, and other times it's like, well, I mean, if you're willing to pay for it, and I was like, okay, we're not willing to pay for that, so never mind. So yeah, there was all kinds of conversations like that. Ask good questions. That's what I learned in that process too. Don't be afraid to ask.
Absolutely.
How have you seen, if this has happened at all, how have you seen building projects adjusted or changed as we're getting farther away from COVID, but I know the dynamics have changed. So if there's a church that's looking for phase two, maybe they got phase one done pre-COVID, they're looking phase two post-COVID, what might be some new things that they actually need to think through?
There used to be some stuff that people were implementing into the new design after COVID, like the drinking fountains that have bottle fillers, touchless stuff, or there's HVAC systems that have different filters in them to filter out some of the COVID particles. I think people don't, that was a big thing a couple of years ago, but now it's kind of back to pre-COVID times as far as what you're building into your project. Mm-hmm. But what has changed and hasn't gone back since COVID is the delay of certain materials and equipment and workforce in general. I feel like there's a lot of people who took COVID as a time to retire or change careers. And I don't think it's just specific to construction. I think it's in general, workforce is stretched thin. And so post-COVID, I would tell everyone to just be patient. It's just know that the work is going to get done as soon as possible. Most contractors want to get the project complete as fast as they can so that there's no delays and so they can move on to the next one. So most of the time, it's not because the contractor wants to delay the project. It's just the resources aren't there. So like I said, just be patient. And then another thing to keep in mind is surprises happen on every single project. And I don't think that's a post-COVID thing, but just be ready for surprises, because every single day that construction happens, there's something that pops up or changes that you weren't expecting. So it's, what's that one saying, that nothing's certain in life except death and taxes?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd like to add that surprises in construction is another for sure. So the construction crews, though, are great at pivoting and figuring out ways to change the sequence of the work or means and methods to get the job done. We're used to that. Mm-hmm. But it's very helpful if the church leadership and parishioners can also be flexible whenever the surprises arise and work through them together as a team.
Yes, I would agree with that. Don't hold loosely every timeline and every possibility, hold it loosely. I would even say this, don't whatever the initial timeline is, don't plan around it, not because the contractor is trying to do a bad job or anything, but you have to hold it loosely. And we were very intentional not to tell people specific dates, because we didn't want them to walk through those emotions as they would hear, well, maybe April, well, maybe June, well, maybe, we didn't want them walking through all that. And so we were just hey, when it gets done, we'll let you know and we'll all celebrate. That's what we're going to do. We're not do you think we don't want to get this done? Of course we want to get it done. So we'll tell you when there's something to say, we'll say it. And I think just from the church side too, I can speak to this. I think as people see the project moving, that's good enough for them. They're like, okay, things are happening. So I don't think that's a big deal as long as you're staying flexible as a pastor. At times, a church will decide to build a building from a majority of volunteer help to save on cost. While that could be necessary, that's for sure. What are two or three benefits that a contractor would bring if they oversaw the full project?
There's so many nuances that go into a building project. There's just a lot of coordination and scope items that come from years of experience. If I tried rotating the tires of my car myself, I could figure it out, sure, but yeah. It would take a lot longer because I don't have a lift or the proper tools to do the job properly and safely. So it would probably take me days to do it because I'd be trying to fit it in my spare time. And who has that these days?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have a lift that would make the task easier. So I'd need to rent a car probably to get me around in the meantime. And that expense would probably offset the savings of doing the job myself. So I'd also be at risk of hurting myself, which obviously would be terrible for myself, but also for my family that I'm needing to care for and, my company that I'm needed at. So there's certain areas that can easily be done by volunteers to help save money. Landscaping is a easy one, like you guys did yourself. And many of our clients do landscaping themselves. If you have someone that can do casework or woodwork, that's a scope that we've seen folks do themselves. Low voltage components, the phone data, the security, the sound systems. If you have a parishioner that could do that themselves, they can get in and do that work anytime. Obviously, the furnishings is an easy one that congregation can work on. But to have the bulk of the work done by a professional general contractor really does cut down on issues and forgotten components and delays and costs that you weren't expecting.
I'll agree on the delays. You guys got ahead of so many things for us that we would have hit easy dead ends, waiting. Oh, it's going to take that long? We would have had that so many times. And you guys were just ahead of it. One thing I think you were almost a year ahead on. That was a big deal to keep us moving. So I would agree with that too. If you want the project done in a certain amount of time, that's a huge benefit, especially right now. Let's see. That is about all I have. Do you have anything else that might stick out as things that we need to be thinking through?
Probably you guys. I don't have good tips just because, I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
But if there are any construction companies listening,
okay,
I would encourage them to get into the project, encourage the field crews to over communicate. Because again, most churches have never built a building before and they don't have this experience. And so it helps to educate.
Yeah.
Everybody, while it's going on, I know you guys had a gentleman that would come out to the site
yep.
Frequently, and he would just ask questions. And our guys were great about talking it through and just making them feel welcome and part of the team. And I think that was a big deal.
Yeah, it also, was.
Also, use local. Sounds like a no-brainer, but sometimes people get stuck in their ways of using the same people that they're comfortable with. But it's so good for the community and can be less expensive to use somebody who's right next door. It also helps the surrounding area welcome in new additions as they now feel part of the team, whereas sometimes people don't like new developments being built in their back door. But it also may even help the church gain parishioners because now that person feels like they built the facility and they want to be more involved with the church. So it really just helps out all around to use local folks.
All of that has been true. So there was, when we were walking through the building project, there were so many times where I'd walk into the school or walk into a restaurant or something and somebody would go, "Hey, you're the pastor at Metro, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "My dad was on your roof the other day." Like that happened so many times. It was pretty cool where I'm like, okay, like I didn't think about those type of conversations happening, but it absolutely was happening. We definitely had, a whole crew of somebody that worked on the building that was like, "Yeah, we're going to be there opening day. We want to see what we, like, we want to be there when everybody sees what we did." So that definitely happened. So I can speak to that too, that all of that is a big deal. And as a pastor, you will have conversations that you did not know you were going to have because people are working on that building. Yes, absolutely.
The construction industry has so much pride in what they do. Mm-hmm. It's a weird phenomenon that I cannot explain, but when you're part of a project and you're part of something that is going to be there again for 100 years, it's very prideful, and it really does bring everybody together, and it makes everybody feel part of one big team. So I love seeing that.
One other thing that I did, because you talked about over-communicating, and the people that we had on site absolutely did that. They were constantly talking with me, but I would make myself available. I would go by, like, at least probably towards the beginning of the week. So I usually try to hit on a Monday and then maybe a Thursday. And I wasn't really, my goal was not to check on anything. I didn't really care. Like, I knew it was going well. My goal was to just, if there was anything where it's like, oh, like sometimes seeing you triggers the question that you were supposed to ask them. And so I would just stop by for like 30 minutes just so that they could be like, "Oh yeah, I needed to ask you something about this." And it allows over communication to happen. So be available, put it into your schedule just to be by, spend 30 minutes, get in, get out. And then they get to know you. And so I know the electrician, one benefit that he did for us was we didn't have something specific on our plans, but he's like, "They absolutely need this." And he just knew, and so he did it, but he knew from conversations that we had so many times. So I agree with all of that. So that is all I got. Any last words for us, Rochelle?
I just want to thank you again for allowing us to be part of your project. It's very exciting, the entire process, watching you guys grow. You mentioned I attended the grand opening, and I hate to admit, but it brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Just the excitement in the room and what you guys are accomplishing. So I really appreciate you allowing us to be a part of it.
Absolutely. If you are in the St. Louis metro area, around Edwardsville, Madison County, anything like that, please give Plocker a call. You may not go with them. That's probably not the right choice if I'm speaking for myself, but call them. The worst that can happen is you can have a good conversation and find out some things that maybe you need to know, even if you move forward in a different way. So call Rochelle, call Plocker. We'll have all the links down in the description, so make sure you contact them. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rochelle, for being here.
Thank you, Tim.
I hope you can hear, like, keeping things simple is okay. Like, it doesn't have to be some complex structure. If you keep it really simple and put the decorations on, it can happen. But I also hope that what you're hearing from Michelle is you kind of need a no-nonsense, very direct, we don't need all the fluff type of contractor. I'm sure the fluff contractors can bring some benefit as well. I know for us and what we needed to maximize our dollars, and they benefited us by just shooting us straight and just saying, here's what you can afford, here's what you can't. If we do this, it's going to cost this much. If we don't do it, it won't really inhibit the rest of the project. Like, we needed direct conversation. We needed over communication. They were great at both of those. And we landed on a very, very good product. I'm probably going to talk more about this. I wanted some time in between the finished product and then talking about what I learned from it. And so I'll probably do a couple episodes at the beginning of 2025 to talk through more of what I learned navigating it as a pastor so that I can share it with you too. And then we'll bundle it all in a playlist. So look forward to that into the future. But thank you so much for being here. If you'd like, subscribe, share it with people walking through building projects. Like, you need to think through it. And if you're in the St. Louis Metro East Illinois area, you should be calling Plocker. You should just be calling them. If nothing else, you'll get some good consultation. You'll get some good questions, even in interviewing them for your building project. I think anybody that's looking to build should be calling them. They're that good. I've had great interactions with them. So check them out. All the descriptions are in the links. And I'll see you next time.